If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
It is Sunday, March the 17th. It is St. Patrick's Day, and in the tongue of my ancestors, Dia bless tu patriots, Agastia Americia. That is, God bless you all, patriots, and God bless America. This is Soldiers of Patriotism. It's 4 minutes after the top of the hour, and Uncle Bing and I, we are so happy that once again you are choosing to spend a couple hours with us on a Sunday afternoon. I don't know about y'all, but I'm waiting for my corned beef brisket and my new potatoes, and got a black and tan staring me in the face. It's going to be a good Sunday afternoon. It was a good week, and I look forward to a week ahead of us. Rather than doing an editorial today, I'm going to start off with a little story. You know, I had the chance to be over in Dublin back in 2000, and was sitting at this little locals bar across from St. Patrick's Cathedral. And if you've ever been to Dublin, St. Patrick's Cathedral is kind of off the beaten track, and you really only go over there to that side of town just to see the cathedral. So my dad and I were sitting over in a public house, while my mom and my wife went into the cathedral. And there wasn't too many folks in there. guy sitting up at the bar and the bartender and us. And these two men were sitting at the bar. And after a while, one of the guys looks over at the other and says, "I can't help but think from listening to you that you're from Ireland." The other guy responds proudly, "Well, yes, that I am." And the first guy says, "Well, so am I. And where about from Ireland might you be?" "Well, I'm from Dublin," says the second guy. "Sure, and begorra, and so am I. And what street did you live on in Dublin?" says the first guy. "A lovely little area it was. I lived on McCleary Street in the old central part of town," the second guy said. "Well, faith, it's a small world, so did I. And what school did you have been going to?" "Well, now, I went to St. Mary's, of course," said the second fellow. The first guy gets really excited and says, "And so did I. Tell me, what year did you graduate?" The other guy answers, "Well, now, I graduated in 1964. The good Lord must be smiling down upon us. I can hardly believe our good luck at winding up in the same bar on this very night," says the first guy. "Can you believe it? I graduated from St. Mary's in 1964, me own self." Well, about this time, another guy walks into the bar and he sits down over by my dad and I and orders a beer. The bartender walks over and he's shaking his head and he mutters, "It's going to be a long night. The Murphy twins, they're drunk again." So with that, let me bring in my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing. How are you doing, brother?
I'm fine, man. How are you? That was funny. I thought it was going to be a little dirtier than that, but it works for me. I've heard, I think, a variation of that that was dirtier. But
well, yeah, you know, and I always have to weave in. I actually was in Dublin. Now, of course, that didn't happen, but, you know, when you tell it in the first person, it kind of adds a little. And I actually did sit in a little pub. St. Patrick's actually is off the beaten track in Dublin, and there is a little pub next door to it that the locals go into, and I did sit in that pub and drink beer with my dad, God rest his soul. It was a fun trip. Ireland in general is just a great place to go. It's a very old city. We spent 3 weeks over there. We flew into London, rented a car, and we drove up to Scotland and spent a week there on the Lake of Menteith, one of the only bodies of water in Scotland that actually goes by the name of lake as opposed to loch, and which is situated kind of between Edinburgh and Glasgow. It's kind of there at what they call the Trossachs, the gateway to the Highlands, and which is where my clan is from, around Lake Loch Lomond. You've got up on the northwest corner, you've got the Clan MacFarlane, which is my clan, the lower western side of the loch is, I believe, Buchanan. And you've also got the MacGregors and the Calhouns on the other side. So everybody knows the MacGregors, Rob Roy, of course, the Clan MacFarlane. You know, and of course, I know that Scott, but Scott and Irish, it's so interwoven. You know, St. Patrick was actually of Scott descent, and he was taken to Ireland as a youngster. And if you ever read the story on him, it's pretty cool what he did. By bringing the Celts into Christianity with the clover, you know, using it as a sign of the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, if you will. But it's pretty interesting history. You know, I was just kind of Googling around this morning. You know, folks of Irish descent constitute the largest group of people in the United States, followed by folks of German ancestry. Did you know that, Brother Bean?
No, I didn't. I mean, I know I'm German. I know not German. I mean, I've, you know, got German ancestry. I also know that my mom on her side is she's got some Irish in her. So we're trying to get it out, but but no, she's got that Irish mean streak, you know, when she's a mom and so on, but. I didn't know that.
Yep, it constitutes a pretty large voting block, actually. I think if you take the Scot and Irish combined, be they Protestant or Catholic, it constitutes about 70% of the folks in the country.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're talking about clover leaves and so on. We got a guest today that's got a ton of clover leaves.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah,
tell us a little bit about what we got going on here, brother. By the way, it's 10 after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Brother, thank you for stepping up and taking the bull by the horns. In fact, Greg's going to be in town next week, so I need to chat with you a little bit about that because I think my schedule is going to be full Sunday with Greg Marr, the artist that's doing the statue of Chris Kyle, is coming back in town Thursday. We've got some business to tend to over the whole weekend. But thank you for stepping up. You and Barbara did awesome. I'm sorry, my throat's still a little weak. You know, I love the springtime in Texas. It's perhaps some of the nicest weather here. It's not too cold. It's not too hot. But it wreaks havoc on my allergies, the hot and cold, and it just gives me a chest infection. And I'll sound like this for probably through the end of March and well into April.
Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, I get allergies too, but they're not this time of year. They're basically the end of the year, you know, when the cold starts coming back in. But
what's that damn mountain cedar? It freezes and then it gets, you know, it's 40 something or it's 32 one day right now, and then it's 80 the next, and it's just like a bong hit of cedar pollen, for lack of better terms.
I can pretty much subscribe to that, or I get that. I got a good mental picture there. Anyways, welcome to Soldiers of Patriotism. It's 718-305-7176. If you care to opine, call in, and we'll get you on the show. I'm going to go ahead and get this liner out here real quick, Michael, and then we'll talk about who we got on today, and we'll talk a little bit about Chris Kyle and the memorial and so on. I'm really hyped about that, and I know you are too as well. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, but don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals themselves. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It always has been. It's been there for quite a few years. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is a place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars. We don't put up with that crap over there, and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution. All on traditionalamericanmovement.com. Hope to see you there soon. And we are a liberal free zone. We don't really tolerate that over there. So I know a lot of other sites do, Michael, but we don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so what's been going on in Bing's world the last week, brother, since last Sunday?
I've been having different problems. I went to work the other day and started up my truck and got down the road and my truck overheated real bad. And, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about this, and this is so true, man. Our kids, we don't teach auto mechanics in school anymore. We don't teach electronics. We don't teach anything that has any resemblance to helping kids out. We don't even teach a kid how to balance their freaking checkbook in school. We used to teach wood shop. We used to teach all these things. But anyways, I came back home, you know, I said, okay, my car's overheating, you know, I'm only a block down the road. I got to do something. I don't know what's going on here. So I just went and got a wrench. I took out my thermostat. Guess what? My thermostat was stuck because I had the knowledge in my head to sit there and say, you know, let me check this before I call the tow shop or whatever, you know, the auto shop, you know. But we don't teach this. I know kids out there right now, Michael, that don't even know how to change their tire. What are they going to do? Seriously.
Yeah. They're going to sit on the side of the road for a long time,
I reckon, you know. But, I mean, it's safe. This bill here, or this repair deal here, cost me, what? I took the thermostat out, I threw it on the side, and I put the housing back on, tightened it up, and I went to work. That bill could have cost me a day's worth of work, a towing place to come out and tow my truck somewhere, or me to get it up to a mechanic, and the mechanic charging me $85 an hour to fix it. And it's just a simple thing. I went up the next day, he got me a little I don't know, $3-4 thermostat, put it in, and it was done. But we don't teach our kids. And this is something that we as conservatives need to teach our kids, how to survive simple things like this.
Oh, absolutely.
Simple things.
Well, brother, we're up against the soft break. Let's get these behind us, and then we'll go into the next segment. And I want to brag a little bit when we come out about Senator Ted Cruz earlier this week, butting heads with Senator Feinstein. I was so proud of him. But let's get these PSAs knocked out and come back, and we'll chat a little bit more.
Oh, definitely.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism. I am Michael B., along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing. It feels so good to be back behind the sword of freedom, the Patriot mic here at the Patriot microphone here in Patriot Studios, Texas. I missed you guys last Sunday, although I did get to call in from on location. I just real quickly, it's about 23 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number 718-305-7176. You can find us at conservativenationradio.org as well as traditionalamericanmovement.com. We are proudly partnered with Traditional American Movement. We're the mouthpiece of that fine organization, a liberal free zone. If you're not a member of that site, I highly encourage you to sign up. It's a great website. I have been working on a page that is up at conservativenationradio.org, Uncle Bing, where I've been uploading all of the archives, news links, videos that have been done, footage from the ceremonies, et cetera, in regards to the Chris Kyle statue. For those of you that are new to the program and aren't aware, I have been very involved in helping artist Greg Mara get a life-size statue of Chris Kyle from Florida to Texas, which happened last weekend. We're so proud of that endeavor here at Conservative Nation Radio and Traditional American Movement. Both organizations were very heavily involved in doing that. And I want to thank all my brothers and sisters at both Traditional American Movement as well as Conservative Nation Radio that helped push that word, push that information. I'll just leave it at that, other than to say, if you're interested in being a part of that, we still are looking for donations. We're about 85,000 dollars that we're trying to still get raised to help offset the cost of that statue. And you can find the donation location at AmericanPatriotsInArt.com. Bing, earlier this week, in what little news I've listened to, had the opportunity to hear Senator Cruz, someone whom I worked very hard for here in Texas, go head-to-head with Senator Feinstein. The one quote that really stuck out in my mind is when he was addressing her, he said, "The Second Amendment and the Bill of Rights provides that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed," he stated. He then asked whether the First Amendment should only apply to certain books or the Fourth Amendment should only protect certain people from unreasonable searches. Apparently, Senator Feinstein wasn't too happy with this and came back with the retort of, "I'm not a sixth grader." She must not like this young 41-year-old senator that's got a lot of piss and vinegar, who promised us when we worked for him, I looked him in the eye, as did many thousands of other people that worked for him, and said, "Please, Ted, don't become what everybody else becomes after they get up there." I think he understands better than anybody that it was we that put him in, and it is us that can take him out. And I think that's why you see Senator Cornyn, who is traditionally a establishment kind of guy, who's not coming out and saying much, or he's not saying anything actually at all to shoot down Senator Cruz. I think he understands he's in a no-win situation. As much as he might like to go shoulder to shoulder with McConnell and McCain and the establishment Republicans, he can't, because he's I tell you, he's got his ass in a corner here in Texas, because he saw what we did, and he knows. I mean, he's got a primary in 2014, and if he comes out against Senator Cruz, his ass is toast. What do you think about that?
Oh, I agree, man. I'm sitting here going, wah, you know, Diane, I'm sorry, you know. And then, you know, you also got Gabby out there, you know, that her she's out there touting around that she's got an AR-15. Her husband's buying a gun. I mean, these people are so hypocritical. It speaks volumes to how they are. I mean, how they act and so on. And look, Ted Cruz is right. He should be on the attack mode. He should go after these people because they need a butt whooping is what they need. You know what I'm saying, Michael? When your kids are doing something wrong, look, I've done it myself. You know, my wife will sit there and tell you. She used to make one of our kids go out and cut a switch. And if that switch was not green enough, they'd come back and cut another one. Because it was not up to that. And that's what these people need. They need a good ass whooping.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've moderated on our side. I'm not even going to complain about the other side. The hell with the other side. We know what they are. I'm going to direct for the next 2 years my attack on the establishment on our side, because they have moderated us out of a country. I mean, they're as much to blame as the left for the size of the government as it stands. And it's so refreshing to have a Rand Paul and a Senator Ted, you know, a Senator Rand Paul and a Senator Ted Cruz, and even a Senator Marco Rubio, whom I know he's a Tea Party guy. He's kind of trying to fall into that establishment, but he's getting some pressure, and I'm kind of glad for that. But I'm glad to see Rand Paul and Cruz step up and go head to head and piss McCain off. Screw him. I could care less about McCain. First of all, he ain't from Texas, so Senator Cruz needs to be doing what he's doing. Thank God he is, because I tell you, I'm really just about done. Other than causing these people grief, I'm just about done with the Republican Party.
I tell you what, man, I totally agree with you. I've been sitting there soul-searching myself, and I'm sitting there going, Lindsey Graham, the lapdog of Senator McLean, okay? And what did the GOP give us, you know, last election before Romney? Well, last one, I mean, come on, Romney's a nice guy, but the thing is, you can't you're not going to win elections by being nice, okay? We're putting up with people like McCain, who want to sit there and denigrate the Tea Party and make us look like we're a bunch of idiots. Look, we got you into this situation here. Maybe not just you, but, you know, we can get rid of you too. And that's the whole thing. That these people need to understand this, that to the Ted Cruz of the world, this party has changed. CPAC, and we got some people that are coming on, they're going to talk about this a little bit, but CPAC is the new face of the Republican Party. And unless the Republican Party wants to get on board, that, you know, they need to step out, get out of the way or something. These old people that have been here for all these years that keep spouting the tired old nonsense that we want to sit there and reach out across the aisle and moderate with people. Yeah, we want to sit there and shake your hand. We want to be your friend while you're stabbing us in the back. That's got to go. And thank God for people like Ted Cruz to sit there and put the blocks to Dianne Feinstein, so to speak.
I'm sorry about that. My beautiful wife was speaking to me. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Bing. We've got people that said, Feinstein said, I've been here for 20 years studying the Constitution. My ass, you've been studying the Constitution. If you've been studying the Constitution, you wouldn't have wrote a ridiculous bill like you've wrote it or written it. You know, and I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall because you know. She probably addressed Senator Cruz off to the side and said, how dare you speak to me, speaking to a junior senator, you know, speaking to a senior senator in this manner. I got to tell you what, I hope Senator Cruz looked her square in the eye and said, I don't give a flying freaking toe jab.
Flying McMurphy or whatever.
Yeah, in fact, the problem is you have been there for 20 years. And no, ma'am, with all due respect, you haven't been studying the Constitution because the fact of the matter is, Senator Feinstein, this isn't a bill of needs. It's a bill of rights. And what you're proposing for you to say, she asked the question, why do you need so many? It's not about need. Who the hell do you think it's not about need? You know, I just these and the John McCain. You're right. John McCain, Lindsey Graham. The only thing I was a little disappointed in CPAC about was the straw poll they did that apparently 7% of our brothers and sisters there think that fat piece of lard butt from New Jersey. I can't stand Chris Christie. Never have. I've always known that he's a traitor. And I can't believe that 7% of the people actually voted for him in a straw poll.
Well, you know, straw polls aside, I mean, I take them with a grain of salt. You know, they go either way. I mean, just to,
and when I make reference to his size, by the way, I say that is one fat piece of crap sitting behind this microphone right here now myself. The only difference is I hold true to my my core beliefs, unlike that one.
Well, I'll take up. I'm slim over here, so I'll take up some of your weight, man.
Well,
actually,
where's
since
about?
I quit smoking, dude, I've been smoke free now since October. So,
well, congratulations.
Happy for me.
I wished I could say the same, man. I've been under quite a bit of stress and poor excuse, but that's how I deal with the stress.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, there's a couple times I've been sitting there going, man, I want a cigarette real bad, you know, but I didn't. So I've been pretty good at that. So I gotta you know, pat myself on the back, man. I gotta do that.
Well, I'm patting you on the back through the microphone, my brother. Hey, well, it is about 29 minutes after the top of the hour. We're coming up against the hard break, Brother Bing. Did you got a live read? We'll do these PSAs. We'll come out, and I think we've got Joe Carr on there ending in 0516. I'm betting that's him by the area code. Did you got a live read? We'll do our PSAs and come back out of that, and I think it's time for Representative Carr.
Yeah, sounds good. I don't have a live read, though, but...
Well, all right. Well, there you go. Let's go on into these PSAs. This one PSA, we'll come out of that with our little drop, and we'll bring in Representative Carr.
All right.
Happy holidays, everybody. This is Brad Paisley for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. When you're traveling during the holidays and see somebody who's had too much to drink about to get behind the wheel, well, get those keys and save a life. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
All right, and this is Soldiers of Patriotism. I am Michael B., along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing, Patriot Studios Command, Texas, as well as Patriot Studio Command Center, Tennessee. Hey, Uncle Bing, and I've got the last 40516 on an open mic. I'm thinking that's Representative Carr. I didn't have time to screen that call. But real quickly, before we bring that call on, do you know what a 7-course meal is for an Irishman?
No, I don't.
A 6-pack of Guinness and a loaf of bread. And I'm enjoying my first Guinness of the day right now.
Well, that's cool.
The phone number is 718-305-7176. This is March 17th, Soldiers of Patriotism. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. Salacha more, God. Thank you for joining us. Bing, I think we've got Representative Carr in. I'm going to let you go ahead and bring him on.
Oh, we got the 48th District Representative Joe Carr. Are you there?
Actually, this is Jim Harding. I've been listening to your first half hour, and I'm just waiting for an opportunity to speak.
Well, Joe's a little late to get on, but, yeah, you're our next guest, so I'm sorry about that. We'll get you on here real quick, man.
No problem. Just enjoying listening.
All right. Thanks a lot, Colonel Harding. Well, I saw the 731, and I thought that might be Joe. I didn't have any place in there where I could field the car, Brother Bing. But let's go ahead. Well, hey, you know, this is live radio, and that's what makes it so fun. You know, that's what makes it so fun, my man. Well, let's go ahead and take a call from Brother Ron, see what's on his mind. What do you think?
Oh, that sounds cool. That sounds fine to me.
I'm just waiting for the blog talk to catch up with me. Brother Ron, are you there?
Yeah, I'm trying to talk. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I put that picture of Gabby on there holding that AR-15 that she used to get herself elected back in 2010. Wasn't that special?
Oh, yeah, that was so cute, wasn't it? That's a nice
I mean to tell you, they're hypocrites. That make me want to spit.
Oh, they make me want to do more than that. You know, these people got the gall, Ron, to sit there
and
Rambo, and then they turn around and want our vote, and they get our vote, and they sit up there. And look, I'm not saying that look, what happened to her was bad, all right? But the thing is that you can't be a hypocrite on this issue. You can't be against the Second Amendment.
Yeah, they can. We're watching them every day, aren't we? Breaking Feinstein had a personal carry permit to carry some because she was scared. And then she wants to take them away from us? Give me a break.
Well, where does it stop? Do you start banning ugly people? I think we ought to ban ugly people. I don't like hanging around with ugly people. They scare me. I'm out there, you know, they scare me.
Right, my wife says that she's got the answer to all this gun violence. She says that we're going to have to ban fingers. If you don't have fingers, you can't pull triggers.
I pull one with my damn tongue, man. I'm telling you.
Well,
my toe. I don't care.
I'll find a way.
I'll find a stick or something. Make it happen.
Is that great blue collar comedian Ron White says you can't fix stupid.
Yeah, oh, I heard that. But you can try, and it's fun to watch them try.
Fix a whole lot of stuff, but you can't fix stupid. Hey, listen, Bing, we've got Representative Joe Carr on. Brother Ron, hang tight. We'll be back to you shortly. Let's go ahead and get Representative Carr in here. Bing, go ahead, do the intro for him.
Well, this guy needs no intro. He's almost like the Nick Searcy of the TN legislature. I mean, Representative Joe Carr from the 48th District. I mean, welcome aboard, sir, and how are you doing today on this fine Sunday?
I'm doing fine. I've been called a lot of things, but I've never been referred to as Nick Searcy.
Well, I just mean you got that kind of atmosphere going about you. You know?
Okay. How are you fellas doing today?
We're doing great. We've got another fellow Tennessean coming right up after you, James C. Harding, Colonel.
Oh, yeah, Colonel Harding. Excellent.
So that's going to be fun. But so what are we doing in the Tennessee House? You got 11 bills that you're putting through this week, this coming week.
Yeah, I've got 11 bills in subcommittee and full committee on Tuesday and Wednesday. I always carry a pretty full load. Most of these bills have everything to do with the sovereignty of our state, the Tenth Amendment here in Tennessee. As you know, being and Michael, that's something I'm deeply passionate about. Yep. And which is why I carried, if you remember, we were talking about HB 42 last week, which allowed for the arrest of a federal officer who tried to enforce the restriction of our Second Amendment rights. You know, what we haven't figured out yet, I'm afraid, is the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. We struggle with that phrase, shall not, I think, way too much. Nonetheless, HB 42 was defeated in subcommittee last week because I had two of my Republican colleagues who got up and left the committee and were not present to vote for the bill. It's unfortunate, but that's kind of where we're at. So we take two steps forward and one step back. So last week we took a step back, but this week we're going to take two steps forward with some of the other legislation we got working.
Yeah. Well, you also, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You also had you got the bill through that. I'm sorry, I'm catching up here for the annexation.
That's Representative Mike Carter out of Ootawah, Tennessee, down there towards Chattanooga. I've been carrying that legislation for 4 years, and quite honestly, I've never gotten it out of subcommittee. For the simple fact that I've never had a committee that took seriously the property rights or the Fourth Amendment rights of the individual, especially when compared to the cities and municipalities. Being Tennessee is one of three states left in the union where your property can be annexed. When you live outside the city, your property can be annexed by the city without you even having a say-so. And so it's annexation without representation.
Correct.
And so you find yourself being annexed and then forced to pay more taxes when you had no ability whatsoever to say, hey, I don't want to be annexed. And so Mike Carter brought this bill up, and he came to me as the committee chair and said, do you think I got any chance for passage? And I said, Mike, as the committee chair, I'll move it out if I have to by myself. And that's exactly what we did, and now this thing has moved out of full committee, and it's got a full head of steam. And I suspect that this bill is going to move out and onto the floor, and which is a great day for Tennessee property owners because you should not have your property annexed by a city without you at least having a voice or a say-so.
Correct. Personally here, I'm not annexed, but I don't want – let me ask you a question here. I don't want somebody
sure.
to sit there and just give this out to me, just tell me what to do. But I want the vote. I want the right to vote. And I'm sure the people that are being they're annexing into the city, the county, they want the right too to say no. I don't think this is. I don't want
right.
them around.
Yeah. All the bill does is it puts it to a referendum. For those who are to be annexed, so they have there's some self-determination there. I mean, it's possible that somebody in the county wants to be annexed, and that's fine if they do. We're not
that's
saying
fine.
They shouldn't, but there are some
nope.
people in the county who don't want to be annexed, and it's fine, and they should be, and that's all we're saying.
Now, Representative Carr, who were some of the lobbyists behind this against it?
There's one set of lobbyists. Almost exclusively, and it's the lobbyists for the Tennessee Municipal League, a TML. They are it's a league or an association of cities. They represent most, if not all, the cities in Tennessee, and of course they're extremely powerful because they represent the city mayors and the city and the city council and those kind of things. And of course, when you have the cities saying, "Well, we need to annex somebody's property because we need the tax base, we need the income," then what they're telling you is that they can't balance their own, manage their own budget because they need the additional revenue of those citizens who they don't provide services for, but yet they want to collect those taxes. And they'll start collecting taxes long before they start providing those additional services. And many times the citizens don't want those services. I know I live in the county. I've got a 95-acre farm in a rural part of Rutherford County, and the reason I live in the county is because I don't want to live in the city. And I would personally find it tooth and toenail. Again, that's my preference, but I don't think you should have your necessarily your property annexed. I know you shouldn't have your property annexed, at least unless you have a say so. And Mike, Representative Carter's done a wonderful job with the bill. And there's also been another gentleman up in Gallatin or Hendersonville. His name is Bill Hoppy Hop, and he has fought tirelessly on this for quite some time.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about HB 42. I really am, because that is a 10th Amendment issue, in my opinion. And
it really is.
I'd like to know. I tell you what. Who were the two reps that walked out?
Well, I'm not gonna say I've got to work with these colleagues. But I will say you can go on the Tennessee General Assembly website, and you can look up under the Civil Justice Committee. The Civil Justice Subcommittee, and it was Wednesday afternoon, and you can look it up under HB 42, and you'll notice the two gentlemen not sitting there. So it's rather obvious, but I'm not going to say. But I was very disappointed.
Well, I assume so, because this is something that, now you're carrying 11 more that you're going to bring up. Some of the big ones that you really want to get?
Well, we've got a constitutional sheriff's bill, which is a strong 10th Amendment bill, which basically reinforces and reasserts the right of the elected office of our county sheriff as being the authority when a federal agent or officer comes into that county. They're required to inform the sheriff that they're in that county and that they're going to make an arrest, and they're required to inform the sheriff that they're there. And so we've got that bill. And basically, these are bills that are designed to push back on the federal government's ever-encroaching authority on our state sovereignty. I've got an eminent domain bill that's coming up, and it basically says that in the case of condemnation, when a city or county condemns your property, you have the right to go to binding arbitration instead of the courts in determining what fair market value is. And the reason for that is the only way you can determine fair market value is by spending literally tens of thousands of your dollars of your own money to ascertain if, in fact, that what the county or city is offering you is just compensation under the Constitution. Now you have the alternative of going to binding arbitration, which is much, much shorter and much less expensive. And I think as a property owner, the property owner should have with a high degree of certainty that the city or the county is making a fair market offer based on the just compensation clause of our own state constitution. So we have that bill coming up as well.
All right, let me jump in here real quick, if I may, Bing.
Sure.
Representative Carr, it's the first chance I've had to be on the show with you on. It's great to meet you. Thank you so much for doing this segment weekly on with us.
He's one of the good guys, Michael.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, being here in Texas and having Texas having ties as strong as they are to Tennessee. You're talking about bills that you're doing in the state house there that deal with sovereignty against the federal government. I'm noticing here in Texas as well. I mean, we've got zero-based budgeting bill. Let me back up a little bit here, Representative Carr, and perhaps you can elaborate on this to the folks that are listening. Because, Bing and I do good show numbers on a Sunday, believe it or not. We got a lot of ears listening. And for all of the federal, the national elections that we've all worked on, and as important as those are, folks, there's nothing more important, more grassroots than working for men like Representative Carr or men like Matthew Krause in my district here, who I pounded the street for in HD 93 here in Texas. And you can keep – I don't know what it is in Tennessee, but here in Texas, it's the 83rd Legislature Regular Session TLO at the capital.state.texas.tx.us, where you can keep up with all the various bills. And we've got bills. We've got anti-drone bills. I mean – I see especially across the South, you're seeing bills coming up in state houses that are protecting the sovereignty of the states, drone, Second Amendment, and then down from that, one that I'm really pushing hard is zero-based balancing year to year, which that's going to go through in Texas. I mean, we're so red. I fear that we're starting to see more blue spots, but we're still a pretty, really probably the reddest state in the union. But this is where the battle's at, Representative Carr, is the point that I'm trying to make. And it takes people getting behind you that do like Bing and I do, that are conservative information pushers, and pushing
right.
these state bills and making people aware of them and making them go to their representatives in the state house and say, I want you to do this or I'm going to vote your butt out of office. This is grassroots. This is where it starts. And this is where we're going to change the direction of our country. Wouldn't you agree, Representative Carr?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, it's kind of sad, Michael, but the fact of the matter is that an elected official responds to pain and fear more than he responds to any other type of stimulus. And so the pain and the fear of having the voters turn against him is a strong motivator. If you've got an elected official that you're not pleased with, let me just tell you, the best way to get him to change his or her mind or change his or her behavior is to make sure that they clearly understand your displeasure. And there are a variety of ways that you can do that. And I always recommend that you be courteous and respectful. However, you can be courteous and respectful, but as the good book says, we have got to stand firm. And what I mean by that is there are Bing and I were talking about this a little bit last week. There are policies that emanate from politics, and there are policies that emanate from principle. And it's real easy to tell which is which. Because an elected official will compromise and work in a variety of ways and even appear to be two-faced when there's a policy derived from politics. But when there's a policy derived from principle, you will surely know that legislator, that elected official, has a set of principles. And there are first principles, and we talked about this last week, and those first principles are real easy to detect because they're in our Constitution. Because in our Constitution, in our Declaration of Independence, gentlemen, it says we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What is interesting about that phrase that Thomas Jefferson penned 230 years ago is that it says among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So it's more than those three. And the among these, I believe, can be found in the Bill of Rights. And that's why the Bill of Rights is so important. So when you find the legislator who's trying to stem the tide of a federal government that has gone way too far, especially against the sovereignty of the states as defined in the 10th Amendment, you'll find the legislator who understands not only what he believes, but why he believes, and the why is those among these principles as enunciated in the Bill of Rights. And it's not that difficult, guys. It's just not that difficult.
No, it's not.
It doesn't take a pyramid builder to figure that out.
It doesn't,
you know. I wanted to ask you about CPAC a little bit. Any stars that you see? We're running long on our break, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, we've got Colonel Harding waiting, so we got to keep that in mind.
Okay.
Real brief, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. They were expected to be, and they lived up to their billing, and they're great patriots, they're great Americans, and all what we need is more men and women in Washington who know how to throw a right hook instead of lead with their chin. Those guys obviously know how to throw a right hook.
Oh, I like that. I like that line, Michael.
Well, you know, there's so much more I want to talk to Representative Carr about. I don't know what your schedule is today.
We need to do a show with you one day, just, you know, do like an hour show or something like that to get you on. But
this is beyond Tennessee politics, and Representative Carr is a state leader, and I need to get mine on. I need to get Matthew Krause on because I got to tell you, it's easier to make change in your local district. I mean, people don't pay attention to what folks like Representative Carr in Tennessee are doing, or Representative Krause here in my neck of the woods, or Gio Capriglione, or Stephanie Click, all of the state House representatives. But that's where change starts, and that's where it has to be made. And Representative Carr, and I know we're going long, and I know Colonel Harding's holding, so please stand by, but I got to just make this point. I see that someone asked me the other day if they thought we were going to be into a civil war. And I said, you know, I don't think I said, I think we're in a civil war right now, but it's not like you think. It's not the civil war of the 1860s. And I think you're seeing state houses like what you're doing, Representative Carr, and what Matthew Krause and others here in Texas are doing, setting up bills. There's going to be fights in SCOTUS. There's fights coming. I think we're in a civil war now. It's just not with guns. And because the states, especially the southern states, are setting themselves up for battles in the Supreme Court. And they're doing it on purpose.
Well, what you're saying is you're seeing a resistance. You're seeing a civil disobedience develop among the states, these several states, that is not unlike what Martin Luther King did in the 50s and the 60s. And you will start to see civil disobedience among these several states pushing them back against the federal government. I strongly believe that, and I think it's time that the states reasserted their God-given right to find in the 10th Amendment to take back their sovereignty, and I think you'll see that.
Well, Representative Carr, thank you so much for being on, and I heard you have a lot of chicks over at your house.
Immortal words of Dire Straits, money for nothing, chicks for free.
Chicks for free. There you go. I tell you what, that this is a great segment. I love it. And we got a hero coming up here, James C. Harding. So a true hero. And a Tennessean. And from Texas. But migrated to Tennessee. But we love you being on here, man. Thanks for filling us in, and keep up the good fight.
Thank you, my friends. God bless you, and the best to Colonel Harding. He deserves the best, and he has my respect and undying gratitude for the sacrifices he's made for this country and state. So thank you, gentlemen, for what you're doing. God bless.
God bless you, Representative Carr. Thank you. Bing, let's just do one PSA, come out with a drop, and get Colonel Harding on ASAP.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back, folks.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Well, okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks. Feel like a million bucks. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
All right, good, happy Sunday to you. It is St. Patrick's Day, March the 17th, 2013. We just got done having a conversation with Representative Joe Carr. We're about to bring in our... So fortunate and so pleased and so privileged to bring on an American icon, an American hero, a man with over 5,000 hours of flight in the United States Air Force over Vietnam and the like, a man that is a hero in my book. And you know how I feel, Bing and I feel, about our brothers and sisters that have served in uniform, having served myself in the 82nd Airborne and having been doing what I've been doing for the Chris Kyle Memorial statue and all of the things that we do to push veterans' causes and active service members' causes. That's what Bing and I pride ourselves on here at Soldiers of Patriotism. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Bing, sit back, put my mic on mute, and he's going to bring in our next guest.
Hi, this is Bing. I'd like to welcome Colonel James C. Harding, U.S. Air Force, retired. Now, Mr. Harding, you've got a lot of mics, so just come on in anytime you want, but sir, you got 5,000 hours of military, 8,000 hours of military and civilian. You were shot down over Nam from a SAM, and you helped save your wingmen. And I'm like speechless. I don't know exactly what to say as far as bringing you in, but please welcome Colonel James C. Harding.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a privilege to be on with you and just listen to the last hour. And, of course, I've got so many things that I think we could talk about. But the most important thing I think we need to talk about, as far as I'm concerned, is that we were established and remain a Christian nation, one nation under God.
Amen.
Amen.
This is where our founding fathers established our country. This is what they used as a background. They used the Bible as a background until they established the Constitution. And those are probably the two most important documents, along with the Declaration of Independence, that we have in the United States. That's the Constitution and the Bible. I think that if we would remember that, the people of America would remember that, instead of being so concerned about who wins Dancing with the Stars or whether this gal that's on trial for whether she's going to get the death penalty or life in prison because she shot her boyfriend so many times and stabbed him, 50 or 60 times. We've descended into a state of immorality in the United States of America that we're going to have a hard time digging our way out. And I've got a couple of stories later on that I'd like to talk about that would kind of illustrate that for you. But first of all, let me see what you want me to talk about.
Oh, it's the show is basically a roundtable show, so we talk about whatever we talk about, I guess.
Well,
I'm sitting there looking at his awards and decorations. I've been looking at it for a week, but Air Force Cross, the Silver Star, Legion of Merit, I mean, Distinguished Flying Cross, the Brown Star, the Purple Heart, with three Oakley clusters, Meritorious Service, Air Medal, Air Force. I haven't been in the Air Force. I don't know exactly what some of these are, but I'm like, wow. This is just the culmination of a man determined to do what he can do for his country.
Well, I've got a question actually of Colonel Harding, and knowing that he's a colonel, and knowing that after a certain O rank, and I don't know what that O rank is, and this may not apply to you, Colonel Harding, but I know that after a certain O rank, officers start going through the College of War and whatnot and learning historical facts, like how Hannibal carried himself into battle against the Romans, et cetera, et cetera. You opened with something that I found intriguing, and where I'm going with this, sir, is the decadence in America. I'm a history buff. Now, I was just a buck sergeant in the Army, but I happen to be a history buff. And, I see parallels. All great civilizations have fallen. I see us in a decline, and it parallels that of the Roman Empire.
Amen.
They assimilated, of course, they assimilated too many slaves in their culture, and then that was part of the problem. The barbarians was part of the problem. But a large chunk of it was decadence. It was just the decline of morality within their civilization that brought them down. And maybe you could elaborate a little bit on that, because I believe in the war colleges and whatnot that the military put you through, at least in the Army anyway, they talk a little bit about that, if I'm not mistaken. And you started off talking about that. Because that's very important. And I don't think – people tend to discard history, and I think that you can look back and see that history does, in fact, repeat itself, and it's doing so right now.
You're absolutely right, and the reason I start with that, because I think that's the most important thing to talk about. I try to, when I talk to people, I try to put the most important things first and then try to back it up with what I say later on. And so that was my thought when I started with that, because as you say, not only the Roman Empire, but Israel. If you remember, Israel was doing fine until they lost God, and then they were defeated, and they were destroyed because they would not listen to God. And the same thing has happened in the United States of America. We had a covenant with God when we were established as a nation, and that covenant was he would take care of us if we would respect him and turn to him. Now we've turned away from him, and he no longer is going to protect us. We have people right now in our hierarchy, in the legislature, in the executive branch, and even in the judicial branch, who have disregarded our humble beginnings. The first schools were started with Bibles. That was their reading material, with Bibles. The first Yale and Harvard and some of those schools were started as Christian colleges. And now they're turning out lawyers that are absolutely scoundrels. They're destroying our country. And you're right, as he goes through these schools, my colonel rank is 06. I turned down 07 because Jimmy Carter was president, and there's no way that I was going to have him as my commander-in-chief. You can imagine what I would do today.
Wow.
I would not only depart the military, I would probably run out the door.
I was just going to say, Colonel Harding, I'm sorry, for the folks that don't understand the jargon, 07, that's Brigadier General, folks. And you turned that down, Colonel Harding.
Well, because I did not want to. There's two ways that you can protest something. One is you can sit there and take it, as they call it in Islam, dimitude, or you can do something about it. You can walk out. You can leave and go do something better than that. And I spent quite a few years, 14 years, teaching young children in high school, teaching high school ROTC. I retired from that in 98. I don't know how many young kids I had the opportunity to not only meet and greet and work with them, but their parents as well. And it's amazing how if you do that with youngsters, you will make a difference in the world. Remember, the communists said, if you give me your children for a couple of years, I'll change them into communists. Hitler did this with the youth in his brown shirts. Now we're doing it in the United States of America with this little group that they've trained under the Department of Homeland Security, this graduating class they just had. They're brainwashing these youngsters to believe something that's not true here in the United States of America. We are a sovereign nation. We should not be in the United Nations. We should not be in NATO or any of these because our Constitution says that the United States of America, as a sovereign nation, can only have treaties with other sovereign nations. There's nothing sovereign about the United Nations. It's slovenly. It should be disbarred from the world. We should tear that building down. I don't think we should even use it for government housing. It's so horrible.
Oh, to me, it's evil, and I think there's a lot of evil going on right now, Colonel Harding. If you can't hold on, we're going to do a hard break here. We're up against the hour, and we'll get right back to you. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and your Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline of that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Join us. Just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join that revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
We'll be right back.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car and the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the bar, getting frisky in the dark. I gave your eye a poke. Think the dog is in the bed. I smell smoke. You and me, we never give up. You and me, we never, ever, ever give up.
Give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy, we got options tonight.
Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
If you love America, you're among friends here. Conservative Nation Radio.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to you. It is Sunday, March the 17th. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. at Soldiers at Patriot Studios, Command Center, Texas, along with my brother, Uncle Bing Fisher, at Soldiers of Patriotism Studio Command Center, Tennessee. We are very fortunate today to have Colonel James C. Harding on with us. We've been talking a little bit already with him, and we've got some interesting dialogue going on. Right at the moment, we're talking about the decline of America as opposed to the decline of Rome or any other great civilization prior to us. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Again, that's 718-305-7176. We do have quite a few lines open, but they are stacking up quick. We do have a lot of folks on the line already. So if you'd like to get in to speak to Colonel Harding, I suggest that you do so now. You can find us at conservativenationradio.org as well as traditionalamericanmovement.com. Colonel Harding, we were talking, and I had made the analogy about the decline of America as opposed to the decline of Rome, and you had brought up the point about how the communists were indoctrinating folks. Now, you served in Vietnam, sir. I served from 82 to 88 during the Cold War. I never was in combat. I served under our greatest president. I was prepared, willing, and ready to die for this country and stood opposed to communism. I grew up understanding what communism was. I grew up doing duck and covers in elementary school because we were practicing for the bombs coming in over our heads. I understand, you understand, being understands, people of my age, and I'm 50 years old and older, understand that the way to indoctrinate folks is to do so in our schools. They've started this curriculum called Common Core, and that's exactly what they were doing, and I think that's what you were alluding to, what they're teaching in our schools. Would you care to elaborate that a little bit more on that, about indoctrinating our young, because they know they're not going to change old people like us, but they're going to make their change by making homosexuality okay, by putting the words Tea Party and terrorist in the same curriculum, so that people think Tea Party, they're terrorists. The DHS has already put out a letter defining folks that are ex-military like you and I as potential terrorists. I mean, how does that make you feel, Colonel? It makes me feel like crap.
Well, it does. It makes me feel that way. And you brought up a whole lot of subjects right there. And I'd like to just kind of go through a couple of them as far as I see them. Is when I mentioned communism, we've been fighting communism for a long time, actually, even in World War II. People may not remember, but when we were fighting World War II, we were doing pretty well against the Germans. And for some reason or other, some of our hierarchy went along with what Stalin was doing by eliminating the culottes of the middle class. Well, that's essentially what's happened in the United States right now. They're trying to eliminate the middle class because they know that they can think they're making money and they can't control it. Well, that's what the communists did. And, of course, they were invited into World War II when we had already defeated Germany.
Sorry about that, Colonel Harding.
It's okay. They were invited into World War II when we had already defeated Germany and allowed to take over half of Germany. Patton had it right. Just give me some tanks. I'll go in there and I'll get the Russians out of East Germany and out of East Berlin. We didn't do that. We didn't do it in Korea. We didn't do it in Vietnam. And now we've got to worry about the communists in our country. There's a book that they wrote that had, I think it's 49 or so, things that they thought they could do to overthrow the United States without actually firing a shot against us. Four that I remember that are so important are destroy our morale, destroy our schools, destroy our churches, and destroy our monetary system. And if you look around today, you'll see that those four objectives are pretty well on the way of being met by those that are doing that. I look at it right now. We have three things we need to worry about to protect our country. We need to worry about the communists, which are still working to try to control a lot of the world. We have to be concerned with the Muslims who are controlling a large amount of the world, over 1.5 billion Muslims throughout the world, and growing faster than any other group of people because they believe in having as many children, as many wives as you want. And then we have those within our own government. Of course, some of those are communists, some of them are Muslims, some of them are both. So we have a real serious problem with our youngsters having a school system that allows us to see history as it was actually occurring. We can't talk about the Holocaust because that gives a certain group of people something to do. We can't talk about anything bad as far as Islam is concerned, and we really don't need to say anything bad about Islam. All we need to do is put in parts of the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sirah, which talk about the things that Muhammad did when he was gaining power throughout the world, and it's almost like a murder mystery with all the people. Over 270 million people have been killed in the name of Islam since they started 1,400 years ago, more than any other group of people in the world. So it's important right now that we get back into our schools. We have school boards, and that's why the local elections are so important. We have got to get people on the school boards that absolutely refuse to allow the Muslims to vet the school books that our youngsters look at. They need to know history as it actually occurred, not as how some group of people, such as CARE, want it to be presented to our people. If we don't let those children know what they're supposed to know, they'll grow up being totally unaware of what's going on. The same thing will happen as happened during Vietnam, where they had these people out there demonstrating, had no clue of what they were demonstrating for or against. The sad part of it is those people are now professors in our major colleges teaching these youngsters going there the wrong things about history and about life in the United States.
Oh, yeah, we've got the 60s.
And the same people, Colonel Michael, if you don't mind, the same people, Colonel, yuppies from back then are buying products made sold at Walmart made from China, who is... I don't get this. You know, why are we sitting there not dealing with Cuba? We're not trading with Cuba because they're communists, but we sit there and trade with one of the most murderous communistic societies around, China. It just floors me.
Well, here's the thing I find interesting, Colonel, and Colonel, maybe you can elaborate on this. You know, the left, these old hippie retreads that are teaching our young now, they actually did pay attention to what our founding fathers said, because I think back to what James Madison said, Colonel Harding, about our Constitution, our form of government being for a religious, moral, educated people. And the only way that it would succeed is if it was a moral, religious, and educated people that believed in it. Well, you know, when you start educating people and taking out morality, it's okay to be any other religion other than Christianity. My God, if you're Christian right now, I mean, talk about oppression in our own country. You dumb down the education. Obviously what you're going to have is you're going to have a failed system that we've lived under and enjoyed for so long because people don't believe in it anymore. They don't understand the importance of it. They didn't grow up watching Neil Armstrong walk on the moon like I did as a youngster and understanding that sense of pride. I didn't understand the politics behind it at that time in my life. I was too young, but I remember it, and I understand, how great it was. Recalling it, playing with my G.I. Joe and pretending that, that was the games I played with my 12-inch G.I. Joe and that huge capsule that I had, our kids are not taught that same sense of pride and patriotism in our schools. We have parents that have little time for their kids anymore, let alone the time to teach them that sense of pride, that sense of patriotism. And we leave it to the schools to do, who are failing us miserably. They're indoctrinating them with leftist liberal garbage. They're putting down, they want to take faith out of society, Colonel, because that's the communist way. If you take faith, if you have faith in something, then you're going to stand up against tyranny. But if you have no faith in anything, you're not. And your God's going to become the government that's leading you astray. And that's what we see happening.
Well, it is what's happening. And the sad part about it is the youngsters are faced with decisions now, and they haven't got the background to make those decisions properly. For instance, right now, you have these folks that are trying to tell them that if you do what we tell you, when you die, you're going to go to someplace and have 72 virgins or whatever. I don't know where they're going to get all these virgins, but anyhow, fine, let them go there and have their virgins. As far as I'm concerned, the more the merrier, because they're not doing us any good. But the part that's disturbing to me is our youngsters, whose minds are still in the formative stage, are being forced to see this and to listen to this and have it forced on them without having the alternative, which is a God that is kind, he's gentle, he believes in one good deed deserves another. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's not the Muslim way, because what they say is you're either a Muslim or you're an infidel. You're either with us or you're against us. See, we have to make some changes, and the changes have to come at the lowest level. We just had a meeting the other night with 26 representatives here in Tennessee. It was a fantastic meeting. It was good for me because there were three other retired Air Force people there, all of them that were on the Tennessee legislature, Rick Womack, John Reagan, and Courtney Rogers. We also have another one, Dolores Gresham, was a retired military Marine helicopter pilot. But these people know what is right, and they're working their hearts out. Just like I was listening to Joe Carr talk about some of the things that they're trying to do, the whole thing behind this is to pass legislation that will reaffirm the fact that each state is a sovereign state. United States of America is a sovereign country. No other organization, whether it be the United Nations or Islam, is going to be able to tell us how to run our country. If we don't do that right now, we're setting ourselves up for defeat in the very near future. And two organizations, I need to mention these two organizations because I represent Veteran Defenders of America, and J.D. Williams was at this meeting representing United States Patriot Union. I want to just mention those two websites so that anybody that's listening that cares about how to protect our country, how to be ready to do take care of yourself, go to those websites. For the Patriots, it's United States Patriot Union, and their website is patriotsunion.org. That's patriotsunion.org. And for veterans, it's Veteran Defenders of America. And our website is veterandefenders.org. That's veterandefenders.org. We've got about 26 million veterans in the United States. We need to get those veterans organized to help each other. We have leadership capability. We have organizational capability. Instead of sitting around when a Katrina or a Sandy hits, we need to have those veterans out there on the streets with an organization capable of helping people take care of themselves, whether it's backing up the local sheriff or whether it's backing up some other organization or actually taking the lead in taking care of people. There's no reason that we should have the loss of life and the loss of as much loss of property as we have from these disasters. Now, these are all natural disasters. I don't think that they're just random, because I think God is trying to show us that we've gone astray as a nation. And if you don't straighten up, the same thing's going to happen to you as happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. So we've got to make sure that we're ready, that we're working not only with our fellow man, but with God as well.
Oh, great. I tell you what, we're going to get those links up on our pages and so on. Colonel Harding, we are talking to Colonel James C. Harding, U.S. Air Force, and we're kind of long on a break here, but we'll get some things taken care of, and we'll get right back to you, Colonel.
Okay.
Join our Warrior Catholic Chris Ricketts on conservativenationradio.org every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. Chris isn't afraid to wave the banner of Christianity in a world becoming hostile to biblical principles. Actually, former Marines aren't afraid of too much of anything, are they? Join Chris to talk about Christianity, the Holy Bible, and God's plans for mankind's salvation. And he might also explain his plan to teach the Swiss Guard a thing or two. The Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts, Wednesday, 7 Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
All right, we back, brother?
Yeah, we're back.
We'll go ahead and forego the soft break PSA. Yeah. We'll go ahead and pick back up with Colonel Harding.
Colonel?
Yes, sir.
Oh, how you doing? Oh, you don't have to call me, sir. Not at all. Just call me then. Or don't call me late for dinner. But
there you go.
I'm interested in your experience just in Vietnam and, you know, the A1s that you were flying and so on for a little bit, if you can. You were shot down. I mean, how harrowing an experience was that, and how did that change your attitude, maybe, if it did? Or was your attitude always this way?
My attitude's always been kind of that way. I've been a renegade ever since I was a kid. I actually spent a total of about 3.5 years in combat. I spent 2.5 years in Vietnam working with first the 173rd Airborne Brigade, secondly with the Royal Australian Regiment. Another unit was the Big Red One, and then another unit was the Capital Division, what they call the ROC Capital Division, Republic of Korea Capital Division. And then I flew quite a few missions in the North Vietnam in the O-1. During that first 2.5 years, I was flying in the O-1 and the U-10. The U-10 is about the same size as the O-1, which is about a Cessna 170. And the U-10 was called a Helio Courier. It was a psychological warfare aircraft we had for broadcasting missions, dropping leaflets, and so on like that. The first time I got shot down, the first time I was directing strikes from the air. We had gotten down there in 1964 when we first started in Vietnam, and my job was to help the 173rd bring in airstrikes if they needed them. We did a lot of search and destroy missions on the ground out into the jungle here, there, and everywhere. And I realized it was very hard for me to direct strikes from the ground from my Jeep because I couldn't see what the pilot was seeing. So I asked the brigade commander if I could go up with him in his helicopter, and I went up, and that was a lot better. We did a couple missions like that, realized that was not very good. After about, I think it was the third mission up with him, we took some fire, hit the rotor head on the helicopter. We had to auto-rotate down with a great big huge thump onto the ground, and I went from being an Air Force forward air controller to be a infantryman on the ground protecting the general and other people there. Luckily, they got some other guys in another helicopter and got us out pretty quick. But that was a real experience for me, working that closely with another service. We worked a lot not only with the Army but with the Marines and with the Navy, because a lot of our missions were directing naval gunfire onto targets along the coast of South Vietnam. And as I say, I flew quite a few, over 100 missions up into North Vietnam in the O-1. But then I came back, and the next time I went over, I flew the A-1, and the mission there was two things. One was to support ground troops that were in contact with the enemy, although we didn't have a lot of ground troops left there, because by 1971, we were pulling almost all of our ground troops out of Vietnam, and we're instead supporting the South Vietnamese Army against the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong. So a lot of our missions were close air, what we call close air support missions. But the other thing we did was to do search and rescue. Our job in the A-1, which is a propeller-driven aircraft, it's very slow, old Navy airplane, was to find somebody who had been shot down or who would had been had some kind of a difficulty, and then protect them until a helicopter could come in and actually make a rescue. If we'd had some really smart young people on the ground, we could have probably rescued them with the A-1 because we had what called a tail hook that the Navy used this airplane for landing on a carrier, and had this hook they could drop and it would catch a cable and stop the aircraft and land it on the carrier deck. Well, if we could have just got some guy to hold up a little loop of rope, we could have gone by and snatched him up off of the ground with that, but we didn't have anybody who wanted to volunteer for that, so we never had
The arrestor hook? I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to volunteer for that. I don't even know if I want to be the one being rescued.
Well, in fact, we actually used a system very similar to that, where the guy on the ground would put a harness on, and we had a balloon that had a little gas canister attached to it. We would inflate that balloon. It would go up in the air a couple hundred feet in the air. A C-130 would come through with a kind of a fork on the front of the bird and go catch that rope, and it would go around to the back to the tail, and then we would actually winch the person up into the C-130. Of course, that was a nylon rope. Even though it was a pretty sudden start, it stretched enough where it didn't really hurt them that much. But we did rescue a couple people like that. But our job was to actually go in, protect the person on the ground until we could bring a helicopter in. And then the helicopter would lower a, because it's jungle, everything is jungle over there, some trees as much as 300 feet tall. So we would have to lower this device. It was just like a big chunk of metal with a couple of metal leaves on it, lower that down into the jungle, and they would strap themselves on. We'd bring them back out of the jungle again. But the rescue that I got shot down on, we were rescuing some Army officers and a forward air controller who had been flying in support of these Army officers. Again, remember now, these were advisors. We had already taken most of the American troops out of Vietnam. So these Army advisors were working with the Vietnamese, trying to repulse the invasion of about 40,000 North Vietnamese into South Vietnam. And they were overwhelmed in the attack. It was down to just a couple of U.S. Army advisors and this forward air controller. So we were trying to get them rescued and get them out of that area. I had sent two of my aircraft in, two A-1s in, to look at the situation. One of them got hit. He went out over the ocean, bailed out, and the Navy picked him up. So I sent two more aircraft in. One of them was hit. He managed to crash land on a runway that we had over there not too far away. So the next morning I decided, well, okay, maybe I better go over there. So I went over with my wingman. We'd been there about 40 minutes when all of a sudden a missile hit the bottom of my aircraft, blew off the propeller and the cowling of the aircraft, and so I was left without power. As I was turning to get away from that area, obviously not a friendly area, they fired another missile, which cut the cable to the elevator of the aircraft, which controls up and down, causing the airplane to go straight down. And now I was left with one alternative, and that was to pull the ejection seat. And in the A-1, our ejection seat had a rocket behind the seat, which as soon as you pull the handle, it popped the canopy off and fired a rocket out, and that rocket then pulled a nylon rope, which jerked you up out of the airplane. And then, of course, you're floating down in a parachute. Well, all was going well, except as I'm coming down, the guys on the ground started shooting at me, and so that kind of got my dander up a little bit. And so I vowed when I got on the ground I would take matters into my own hands. I was able to, as I say, dodge bullets well enough to keep from getting hit while I was on the way down. So at that point, I'm thinking, okay, my wingman is going to rescue me. He'll be here and he'll take care of everything. So as I'm kind of gathering my wits on the ground, I hear a bang and I look up and here comes his airplane floating down. He's floating down a parachute as well. So that left us to our own devices at that point, because I'd already sent the Air Force rescue help helicopters out of the area, knowing that they would be no match for that kind of a missile. I did not know at that time what kind of missile it was. It turned out to be an SA-7, which is the surface-to-air shoulder-fired missile, similar to the ones that the two Navy ex-Navy SEALs were trying to track down over in Benghazi when they got, and that's another story that we can talk about. But anyhow, as I gathered myself, I realized that there was no way a helicopter could come in unless I would take care of these guys on the ground, which I was able to do by killing one of them with my pistol and taking his rifle, his AK-47, and getting rid of a couple more that were in that area. And an Army helicopter came in and picked me up. It was just a plain old Army helicopter, so he actually was going to try to land. That area had been kind of bombed away, so there were quite a few little spots where he could have landed. But luckily, he didn't have to touch all the way down. I had quite a bit of adrenaline going, and I was able to actually, I think, probably jump 6 or 7 feet up into the helicopter. But my wingman was not. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's a fantastic story, but I want to carry this on. Michael, we got like a hard break coming up here, so.
Yeah, we do, and I've got a question or two for Colonel Harding myself. But okay. Colonel Harding, we got to make a little bit of money here, so we've just got about a minute and a half of hard break here, and then we'll pick this up. Got a couple of questions, and we got folks online, Colonel Harding, that would like to speak to you, if that's all right with you, sir.
That sure is.
All right, we'll be right back, folks.
718-305-7176.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him in the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
All right, good Sunday afternoon to you. This is Sunday, March 17th. It is St. Patrick's Day. Thank you for joining us. This is Michael B. from Texas Patriot Studios Command Center in Texas, along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing Fisher from Tennessee Patriot Studios Command Center. We do have Colonel Harding on with us this afternoon. We've been having a very good conversation with Colonel Harding. Colonel Harding, I was looking over your resume, sir. Of course, I see that you're from down around Nueces County way to start with.
That's correct. Bayview, Texas.
Always good to talk to a brother from Texas. I love Nueces County. Some good swimming holes down that way. I guess my first question is, to what degree that you can speak about it, having served in Vietnam, sir, and with Mr. Kerry now being our Secretary of State, doing what he did after Vietnam, to what degree that you can speak about it or are comfortable speaking about it? How do you feel about this, sir? But after what he did to our brothers and sisters of your generation that served in that war?
Before I answer that, let me just real quickly finish what happened on that mission, because I think it's kind of important.
Oh, please, by all means,
Jim. Oh, definitely.
People understand the dedication of people in the military to take care of each other. And then at some point, maybe today or tomorrow or some other time, we can talk about Benghazi, because that's another important place on us. But anyhow, after I'd gotten rid of the guys on the ground, I was able to direct an Army helicopter, UH-1, in to pick me up. And like I say, was able to jump up in. I can remember this great big old door gunner. As I jumped up into the aircraft, I think I'd have probably jumped through it, but he grabbed me and pulled me down into the helicopter there. And the first thing we did was to get a hold of my wingman who had been shot down. I knew where he was. I could see him. He couldn't talk to the people that were doing the rescue, and I couldn't talk to him. But I was able to direct the helicopter over, and we picked him up. We went down, sat down. He had, when he ejected, he had hit the cross member on the aircraft and had broken his shoulder. So he was going in and out of consciousness. So what I wanted to do is leave him on the ground and go back and get the guys we're trying to rescue. They wouldn't allow me to go with them. So they went back, and one thing I told them, I said, if you start to take ground fire, don't climb. Make sure you stay as low as you can, because if you climb, you're going to be within sight of the missile firing, and they'll get you. Well, sure enough, the guy went in. There were two helicopters. One of them went in and was picking up the Vietnamese guys who were there. The other one was picking up the U.S. Army and the forward air controller. Well, they both started taking ground fire. One of them started to climb, took a missile right up the tailpipe and blew the whole helicopter out of the sky, killed everybody. The other guy was able to auto-rotate over to the side, and we had a couple of Cobra gunships that were circling with us. They landed, and the guys got out of that helicopter, stood on the skids of those Cobras, and we got them out of the area. And I've since talked to that forward air controller that was down there on the ground that we were rescuing. It's amazing to talk to him after all these years. But the point I want to make about this is these guys in these helicopters already had been into this area once. They knew the problems. They knew the danger. But they went back and did it anyhow. They actually gave their lives for their fellow man. Now, that's something that only the military is willing to do. However, a good Christian will do the same thing. I believe that there are no atheists in the cockpits. I believe that everybody that's up there has to believe in some power over him, and it's not a false god. It's not a god someone's created out of maybe 300 or so gods that the Arabs used to worship when they were down in Mecca. This is a true god. This is a god of our great religion that we have, and I think that's so important. Now, to John Kerry. All I can say is he is a traitor to the United States of America. When he was running for president, my thoughts were he should have been tried for treason rather than running for president of the United States. Any man that did what he did following Vietnam does not deserve to even be mentioned at the same time as military people. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. And then we have our chief of the CIA, the guys in charge of all of our secrets, the most secret things we have, who went to Saudi Arabia to serve, and I spent 4 years in Saudi Arabia. I know what it's like over there. Went there and converted to Islam. How in the world can we let somebody like that be the chief of our secrets? That's like inviting the fox into the hen house. It is unforgivable, and I think that if we don't do anything else as patriots here in the United States of America, we need to clean out our Congress, some 81 progressives in Congress, another name for communists. We've got Muslims throughout the hierarchy, and we've got Muslims in the military. How in the world can we have the enemy in our own military? It just doesn't make a bit of sense to this old farmer. I think we need to clean every one of them out of our military. I don't care. We don't need interpreters. We can teach somebody the language. We do not need them in our military. And there are no good Muslims and bad Muslims, because if they follow the teachings of the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sirah, they are on one side infidels, which is us, on the other side.
Yeah. I totally agree, Michael. I'm sitting there going, with this peaceful religion, come on. If you're so peaceful, then why don't you sit there and take control? You know, if you're a Muslim, then why don't you get up there and say, look, this, you know, we don't hear anybody. We don't hear anybody come up there and say, you know, no, they don't speak for us. No, they're afraid of them. Why are they afraid of them?
Well, I tell you, as a veteran, it disturbs me that we have people on the left like John Kerry who so nonchalantly will throw his medals over a bridge and put down our brothers. And I'm very hard-pressed.
Well, thank God for the Swifties. Thank God for the Swifties.
Yeah, I'm very hard-pressed to put down a brother, regardless of his political ideology. But John Kerry bothers me to no end. He uses his service to his own ends, whichever way that wind is blowing. And that bothers me, because that's not what we're about, Colonel Harding.
Well, he lied. He lied over and over again about what went on in Vietnam.
He did. He's a traitor. Yeah, he did.
I spent 3.5 years there. I was down in the foxholes. I was out in the jungle. I was everywhere with these guys. And I did not see what he talked about.
You know,
that's not because I was just flying over the top. I was down there in the bushes with him.
You said something interesting. You've never met an atheist in the cockpit. You know, we had the same saying in the foxhole as well. I've never met an atheist in a foxhole. And but let's bring on, at this point in the show, if we could, Colonel Harding, because we're about 18 minutes out, actually about 14 minutes out before we have to tidy this show up. But I'd like to start bringing on some folks to get an opportunity to either ask you a question or say to you whatever they would like to say, Colonel Harding, if that's all right. I'd like to start with our brother, just, I guess, a little bit west of you, over in Henry County, around Paris Way. That's our brother, Kurt Blackwood. So let me open up his mic and bring him on in here. Brother Kurt, how are you doing? We've got Colonel Harding on the line with us.
How you doing, Kurt?
I know you do, Michael. Bing. Thank you both. Hey, I'm not going to take up any time. The man of the hour today is my friend, Colonel James C. Harding. Thank you for being on, Colonel. Back to you,
thank
Bing.
Thank you, Kurt. Glad to be here.
Kurt is just a fantastic patriot that he hangs around with us. he's such a great person. He just he knows everybody. I keep saying he knows more people than God. And, you know, I think he don't want
Bing,
to say that.
Bing, I told you, don't say that. That's dangerous.
Colonel Harding, I've got a question for you. Did you by chance? I'm a movie buff. One of my favorite movies, actually. I'm not a real big Gene Hackman fan, but he did do a couple of good movies. One was about a peer of yours, Colonel Hambleton, that did that Bat 21. Were you familiar with the actual man himself?
Yes, I am. And I was working on that rescue. And about the only thing that's true about that whole thing was the title, Bat 21 Bravo.
did the Colonel actually use a golf course layout?
Fabricated.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad to know that. It was an interesting movie. I didn't know how true it was, but it sure was a fun movie.
Not only did I know Colonel Hambleton, but Tommy Norris, who was the Navy SEAL who actually rescued Hambleton, I've met and talked to several times, and he is he's about the size of Kurt, by the way, about the size of Kurt Blackwood. He's just a rather not overwhelming guy, but tough as nails. And he and his Vietnamese partner went down the river on a sampan, got Hambleton to come over there, slapped some scuba gear on him, and took him out of there. And on the way down the river, they went right by North Vietnamese gun positions. They floated underneath. They were camouflaged, of course, to look like just plain old Vietnamese. But they were right there under the nose of them. You talk about somebody that will do whatever it takes for his fellow man, this guy is unbelievable. And the sad part about it is later on in his life, of course, he got the Medal of Honor for that mission. But later on in his life, he was almost killed working for the agency, so to speak, when he busted some guys and they just about they tried to kill him. They thought they did, left him for dead, but he survived. But anyhow, that's the kind of people we have in the military right now.
Absolutely, at all ranks, E rank and O rank. I mean, you know, you were in it a different. I was in a generation after you, sir. I was in during the 80s. And then, of course, nowadays, you know, it's a completely different armed forces than you and I are familiar with. But I don't care if it's the militiamen of the 1700s or the the sand soldiers of today. You know, America always has produced. My only disappointment is after the fact when you've got people like a Kerry that really hurts our brothers and sisters that have served. And I'll even go so far, and I'm not asking you for an opinion on this, but as much as I used to love Senator McCain, I find myself really disappointed in him as well. And I just, you know, I expect so much more of us that have served than some of those that are serving now as public servants in the Congress. It just is really disappointing to me. It almost hurts.
Well, the thing that I have concern about with McCain is I knew him before he was shot down. I knew of him, what he did, and so on. And I won't say anything more about his background, because I respect the fact that he lived through those years of torture. But that should have enlightened him rather than diminished his capability. He has turned against the people who made him, who got him where he is, and in essence, he's tearing down the system that makes him capable of being up there and doing what he's doing. I want to put out one more thought, and that is that World War One, World War Two, we went to those wars. Now, why we got into them, that's a different story. Politicians get you into wars, soldiers have to get you out. But we fought those wars as a nation. We won those wars with unconditional surrenders, and that's the last time we've won a war. From that point on, we've negotiated away victory after victory after victory. Now, we're doing that right now in our own Congress, and it really galls me that we have people who are representing the Christian conservatives of this nation, and they're giving away the country to a bunch of radicals who would destroy our country, who would take us down the road to communism, to Islam, to whatever, for their own benefit. And I can't stand it. That you don't negotiate with the enemy. There's no way that a Republican should ever negotiate with a Democrat. If they're wrong, they should stick to their guns. It'll all work its way out. This undecided group of people out there, if they're too stupid to know who needs to be up there representing them, they shouldn't be voting. But we've got to stand up for the Christian conservatives of this country, and we've got to quit negotiating with the enemy.
Well, before we bring
we
in...
Can't, we, I got to read a lot of real quick, but we can't keep reaching across the aisle, Colonel. I mean, this has gotten us into a lot of trouble over period.
Let's forego line reads in breaks for the rest of the show, Bing, because we're running out, and I want to get Boyd and Ron in here. But, you know, Colonel, I'm going to ask you on the square, and I don't know if you know what that means, but whether you do or you don't, just as one vet to one old vet to another, I find myself as proud as I am of my service. Serving in the 80s at the end of the Cold War there, when Ronald Reagan stood in Berlin and said, "Mr. Gorbachev, bring down this wall," knowing what I was prepared to do and what I stood against in the way of communism. I oftentimes, in my own private moments, think to myself, why did I waste my time? Am I wrong, Colonel? I mean, because I feel like I wasted my time standing against something that is now taking a foothold in our country.
I don't think you wasted your time. None of us wasted our time. In fact, I've got a brother-in-law who feels that his time was wasted in Vietnam because he doesn't think it was worth us being there, but I think it's worth us. We have to take a stand. Somewhere we got to take a stand. We failed to do it in Berlin. We failed to do it in Cuba. We had the opportunity to blow away those guys because we – Kennedy gave away so much in Europe for them to leave that island. If we'd have gone down there and pushed them out, made them surrender, Cuba would be our friend today. If we had done that in Korea, we would not have North Korea now with a young twerp over there threatening to blow us up with nuclear missiles. If we had done that in Vietnam, we would not have the North Vietnamese taking over all of South Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos, and murdering over 1.5 million people. We would not have that today if we had found the enemy after the 9/11 and destroyed the enemy. Don't Don't go in and defeat him for a few minutes and then, okay, we're going to negotiate the rest. You find the enemy, you destroy them, make them surrender. You don't give them anything. There is no negotiation when you go to war. You don't go to war unless you absolutely can't get out of it. But once you've gone to war, you don't negotiate from then on. It's surrender or die.
It's kind of like pulling a, it's kind of like pulling a weapon on someone that's walking into your house that's not invited. You don't pull it unless you intend to kill them.
And, correct.
Amen.
And we glorify these people. We're now trading with them. We're now doing all these, you know, backdoor things with them. And I just, you know, we just glorify our enemies, and I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's the liberal politicians up there. And, you know, that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, real quick, before we bring on Boyd and Ron for final, for just a quick question and final thoughts from Colonel Harding, we've got to bring in our host for our Monday night show, and that is Duke Brooks with Radio Free America. So if you could just hang tight real quick, Colonel Harding. Duke, are you there?
I am indeed. Michael, how are you doing?
Hello,
and Colonel,
Duke.
How are you doing?
Well, we're doing good, fine. You. Duke, give us a few minutes.
Well, I can, you know, yesterday, I suppose one could say that I was the unofficial or semi-official representative of conservativenationradio.org at the CPAC conference, which was right outside D.C. So I was up there yesterday kind of waving our banner a little bit and meeting some people and that sort of thing. And CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, 15,000 people there. And I'm going to have a full report tomorrow night on Radio Free America at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, right here on conservativenationradio.org.
Oh, well, dude, we're going to tune in for that. That's going to be a good show.
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, it was extremely interesting. Saw Sarah Palin give her speech, Phyllis Schlafly, Newt Gingrich, who I know, you know, he's not like my best buddy or anything, but he actually remembered me from my days in his Delaware organization last year. And it was terrific. It was just a wonderful time. And I'll certainly be telling all the people tomorrow night. So I hope everybody will be able to hang with me.
Well, I know that
hey,
I'll
Duke,
be there.
Hey, Duke, Lisa May Norton contacted me today and said she ran into you. I said, did you not come down? She goes, no.
Lisa May, she's the chief executive of Big Dog Music, and that is, as they say, music for the right side of your brain, and I very much like what she's doing, and she is a wonderful person, absolutely, and she definitely knew both Michael and Bing, both you guys, the terrible twosome, you know?
which you're going to put away in Huntsville.
Yeah, that's right. Something like
all right, Duke. Well, thanks for calling in. This is Duke Brooks with Radio Free America on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You want to catch that show tomorrow because Duke was actually, he wasn't the unofficial. He was the official representative for Conservative Nation Radio at CPAC. Next year we're hoping we can have, if not all of us, a good chunk of us. Well, let's finish up this show here real quick with Colonel Harding because we are down to about the last 6 minutes. Let's bring in here real quick. Ron, you got something real quick for Colonel Harding and Boyd, you're on deck.
Boy, I sure do appreciate your service. I was trying to get into the service while you were in 72 when they were really drawing down, and it affected my future. But I sure do appreciate you being on our show today and hearing what you've got to say. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Ron. Stand by for the show, brother. Boyd from Alaska, the Alaskan. Come on in here. What do you got for Colonel Harding, my brother?
Well, I just want to thank the Colonel for his service. And I want to thank him for taking my spot in the bushes over there. Because without him doing that, I wouldn't be here in Alaska. I'm sure of that.
Well,
I appreciate that.
Well, and thanks a lot for calling in, Boyd. Stand tight. We're going to wrap this show up. Colonel Harding, it's been such a pleasure to have you on. We really would like to have you back on. It sounds like we have
a whole
lot more we would like to discuss with you. I want to just give you a minute or a minute and a half, whatever, to wrap up with whatever you want to say, and then we're going to call it a Sunday.
Well, there's so many things that are left to talk about. I agree. And again, I want to reemphasize that we cannot negotiate with people who are wrong. If they're wrong, they're wrong. You don't gain anything by negotiating. We do not have a king. We have a president who's elected. That president is not omnipotent. We have to make sure that we realize that he's a person just like we are. He has to abide by the same rules from God as we do. And if we don't understand that, we should not hold these senators and congressmen on a pedestal. Most of them, and especially some of these have been in there for 40 years, have never worked in their lives. Don't tell me that being a senator is work. You're on the public dole. You're a servant of the people, and you should remember that you're a servant of the people and not try to talk back to some youngster who is telling you what you should have known already. So these senators that come around and expect you to bow and kiss the ring every time you see them, forget that. The ones we should be thankful to are the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who throughout history have allowed these people to serve the people of the United States of America. And they are servants of the people of the United States of America, and they need to remember that. And if they don't, then it's up to us to remind them of that. As I heard you saying earlier, these people, we've put them in office, we can take them out again. And we should take them out if they do not follow the Constitution, if they do not represent the people. It's our job as representatives, as people in the United States of America, to do that. We owe everything we have in our country to those brave men and women who fought the Revolutionary War and have fought all the wars since then, have given us the freedom and liberty that was given to us by God, that helped us to keep that, as it was in the Declaration of Independence. These are rights. These are rights from God. These are not rights that are given to us by a government or anything else. We need to make sure that our government understands that they serve the people. And this, one of the things we are trying to do, and we've been working so hard in the state legislature here in Tennessee, is to pass the Balance of Powers Act. And that says that if a law is unconstitutional, then the state, as a sovereign state, is not obligated to follow that law or to obey that law. And we need to make sure that the ultimate authority in our state, these county sheriffs, are aware of this, and we need to back them up. And that's what we will do with Veteran Defenders of America and United States Patriot Union. Those two organizations, go to the websites and look at them, because we are backing those people who are constitutionally and biblically correct. That's our job, and that's your job out there in the radio audience.
Thank you very much, Colonel.
Thank you.
And let me just follow up with oorah.
All right. God will bless America if America blesses God.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Well, Bing,
thank you,
that's
Colonel.
The end of the show, brother.
Thank you, Colonel. It was just a pleasure to have you. But, yeah, Michael, thank you.
We're down at the end, brother. I just want to end by saying a happy St. Patrick's Day to all of our Patriot friends. And I want to just end it with a warm Irish toast to you all. May you always have walls for the winds, a roof for the rain, tea beside the fire, laughter to cheer you, those you love near you, and all your heart might desire. Dia bless America. This has been Soldiers of Patriotism. We're going to end this show with just a little remembrance to our ancestors that came to this great country of ours. This is by Gaelic Storm. It's called Heart of the Ocean.
God bless you.
the light dies at the window, and the night wind blows soft from the sea. So I lie in your arms, I'm 1,000 miles away, on the waves sailing fast, sailing free. Now I'm bound for the heart of the ocean. I'm riding the sea in my soul, and the dark and the deep, she will rock me to sleep. Down below, where the black waters roll, I'll be drawn to the shore like so many times before, as I long to be far from the land. Now I'm bound for the heart of the ocean. I'm riding the sea in my soul. In the dark and the deep, she will ride me to sleep. Down below, where the black waters roll.
Where the black waters